for this week, and I'm excited to be back. I think this might be like my seventh time being here for this event, and I absolutely look forward to it every time I have an opportunity. So looking forward to it. This week I'm going to be sharing to you guys some things from God's Word, because if it's just about me getting up here and saying some things just from my point of view or from my perspective, it's not going to be anything that is going to be of merit or of any lasting impact. But the Word of God comes from God Himself, and it is true, it's eternal, it's trustworthy, and if we are willing, it can change and impact our lives. So this week I'm going to be sharing with you a lot about the life of the Apostle Paul. And we'll get started, but before I get started, how many of you drive? How many of you actually? Okay, all right. Where are all the women drivers? Did any of you drive tonight? Can you please make sure that I get out of here before you start driving? Okay, because whoa, wow! I just got a lot of dirty looks from all the girls and. But all the guys were saying, amen, preacher brother, right? Yeah, we know. We've seen your girls' cars. So, anyways, all right, so tell me this. How many of you guys have ever gone the wrong way? Like you were headed somewhere and you took a wrong turn, right? And you got, yeah, okay, all right. I've been there, done that. In fact, I remember years ago, I was actually in New Hampshire. I'm an evangelist. I know some of you aren't very familiar with who I am. And so I'm an evangelist. An evangelist is just simply a preacher that travels all across the country and even to foreign nations. And I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ from the Word of God, the Bible. Okay. And my family at that time, they were traveling with me, and we had this, we had a one-ton dually truck and a 42-foot fifth-wheel trailer. And so that's a pretty sizable rig. It weighed somewhere around 30,000 plus pounds altogether. And, you know, you kind of have to be on top of your game when you're driving because you don't want to get in some bad situations. And we were going to this church for a week of meetings. I'd never been to this place before. And, you know, I'm using the GPS and it was kind of confusing. And I took this road. And the thing was, it wasn't the right road. The right road was just like maybe a quarter of a mile up the road. And so I start going up this road with my rig and my family in tow. And I'm like, kept on going and going for a ways. I mean, maybe three quarters of a mile. And I'm like, I don't think this is right because once we turned left, we were supposed to be right there. I'm like, this is not right. Well, guess what? There was nowhere to turn my rig around, okay? And this road, you know, was curving and all that stuff, and I had to back that rig, you know, my 42-foot fifth wheel, all the way back down that road. And, you know, it was a little intense, but I'd gone the wrong direction. You know, and there's been times where I've misread things or, you know, I thought I was paying attention to the directions on the GPS and I wasn't. And then all of a sudden I noticed it and it was too late. And now I'm headed totally the wrong way. I hate that. Not too long ago. How many months ago was that? Maybe it was a year ago or so. And it was so dumb, but I was driving and I had been to this place. I think it was down to my parents. And, you know, I've driven that route tons of times over the years. And so I'm driving, and I had to stop, and I had to fuel up. And, you know, I don't know about you, but sometimes, you know, you're driving everything, and your mind's just going, right? And you're thinking about all kinds of stuff. And I was just kind of in this mode, and I'd filled up my truck. I was, you know, I got back in, and I started off. I went the complete opposite direction for like 20 minutes before I realized, hey, I'm heading back to my home, not down to my parents' home. So I lost nearly an hour because I'd taken the wrong direction. I really wasn't very happy about that. And by some of your raised hands, you've maybe been in similar situations. Well, Paul shares here in Philippians chapter 3 some of his testimony. And what we're going to start off with tonight is hearing from the Apostle Paul about how his life was going the wrong direction. Listen to what he says here in verse 4 of Philippians chapter 3. He says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. So, kind of some interesting verses there, right? And maybe even as you just sit there listening to, it's kind of, you know, kind of how it is structured. It can be a little difficult to you know, think through. But we're going to kind of take this and try to break it down. But what Paul is doing here is he's saying, look, I was going the wrong way with my life. And here's the main point that I want you guys to remember from tonight's glimpse into God's Word. Paul was going down the wrong path of life because he had a wrong confidence. Have you ever been driving with someone who they knew the way and you could not tell them anything? And they, you know, you're saying, hey, wait, aren't you going to go this way? Oh, no, I know, I've got it all, you know. And then they end up getting lost and you're like, I told you were going the wrong way. But they were so confident with their knowledge and their ability of the area that you couldn't tell them anything. Well, Paul was saying here in Philippians 3, hey, I was so confident of my direction of life. Well, what was he confident in? Well, his confidence was based on, first of all, who he was. Who was he? Now, some of this stuff doesn't mean maybe as much to us in some regards, but it really was important to Paul and to especially those who were Israelites, those who were Jews. He said, I'm of the stock of Israel. And so what he's talking is here, he was confident in his lineage. In fact, his lineage could be traced back as far as any Jew would be able to. This is kind of what he is stating when he says, I'm of the stock of Israel. He was a true, pure-blooded Jew. And again, to us, maybe that doesn't make a lot of difference. But back in that day, if you were a Jew, to be able to say that you were a true, blue-blooded Jew, a Jew through and through, and you could trace your lineage all the way back as far as you possibly could go, that was a huge deal. You know, even today, people have, you know, there are certain people that they have what we'd say big names, you know, big family names, and they are known for the generations of family and so forth, and they've built this reputation, and they've built this rapport based off of their name and so forth. And so he's kind of relating that way. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. Now, this is also something that was very important because, again, for the Israelites, Benjamin was a renowned tribe. Who came? Let's have a little bit more trivia, all right? Where was the first king of Israel from? What tribe was he from? From Benjamin. Okay? Saul. In fact, the Apostle Paul, his original name was Saul. And it's believed that he was named for the first king of Israel, King Saul. Jerusalem, the holy city, was found within the boundaries of the tribe of Benjamin, as well as the temple. So this was a place where God's people, the Jews, God's chosen people, the nation of Israel, this is where they came to worship. So the tribe of Benjamin was a renowned tribe, and they were known for their loyalty to God. And so this was a big deal. He also goes on to say, I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Saying again that his parents, he wasn't just, you know, he's saying, he's reiterating the fact that his parents were pure-blooded Jews. They held to the different Hebrew customs and language, even though Saul was originally from Tarsus. But he and his family would have upheld and lived by the customs and traditions and societal and cultural aspects of the Hebrew nation of Israel. Paul had, as he had grown older, he had been schooled, received tutoring and knowledge in Jerusalem. He sat and learned from Gamaliel, who was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was one of the greatest known rabbis and scholars of his day. And so when Paul here says, listen, this is, you know, I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews, and this is what I'm, you know, I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. All of this stuff is kind of relating to that. He was based on who he was. Now, maybe you aren't here saying, you know, I think I'm going to get to heaven because of my lineage in some of the same respects. But maybe you are thinking you can get to heaven based on who you are. I'm a, you know, what he was in some respects saying is, hey, I'm a pretty good person. I come from good stock. I'm not from a bad family. Right? Not everybody can say that, can they? Right? My dad grew up in the hills of West Virginia. Their family was not a good family. They were a hard living, hard working people, a lot of fighting and violence, murders, all kinds of stuff that happened. One of my great aunts and uncles, they were drunk one day. They got into this huge argument, and he took a double-headed axe and he swung it at my great aunt and he sunk it in just above her hip, all the way up to the hilt. She goes staggering up the hill into their house. He comes stumbling after her, tripping and falling because he's dead drunk. She goes into the house. She comes out and she has a .38 revolver in her hand. She shoots him in the stomach. They both fall down on the ground, bleeding out, cussing each other out. And guess what? They both lived. You know, like crazy. I wouldn't exactly call that, you know, coming from the best lineage, the best family. Maybe you come from a pretty good family. Maybe some of you come from a home where your parents know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And you go to a Bible-believing, God-honoring church, and maybe you're like, man, I come from a really good family. Or you maybe your family is a good, moral, upright family, and maybe they have a good standing in your community and in your neighborhood, and your dad's well recognized at work, and your mom is regarded, you know, as a high quality woman and so forth. And you know what? Sometimes a lot of people will think, well, because of all those things, that's what makes me a good person and acceptable and a prime candidate to get to heaven. Because of who I am. And because of my lineage and my family background. Well, this is basically what Paul was saying here in his own way. His confidence was based on who he was. But notice, secondly, that his confidence was also based on what he was. Notice what he says here. In the latter part of verse 5, he says, "As touching the law, a Pharisee." Paul was a member of one of the most elite religious groups in Israel. In fact, the Pharisees would have, if I had said that way, they would have been so mad at me for saying it, because they would have not believed that they were one of the most elite. They would have said, we are the most elite religious group in Israel. Okay? So here's a little bit about them. The Pharisees were extremely strict as a religious group. They were the most strict religious group in following and observing the Old Testament law. In fact, they added additional hundreds of laws to the Old Testament law that God had originally given. They felt like there weren't enough laws which were over, what, 360 odd laws that God had given. And so they decided that they would add over another 300 plus laws or more. And they dedicated their lives day in and day out to studying these laws and following them. In fact, they were known as the separated ones. They lived in a manner that kept them separated from common life and from everyday tasks so that they could study and so that they could obey these different laws. They were a very sincere group. And Paul was a part of that group. In fact, we believe in studying about the life of Paul, not just from Scripture, but from historical sources, that because of his genuine loyalty as a Pharisee, he was beginning to ascend the ranks, and most likely, if he had kept on going, he would have actually received a seat on the council of the Pharisees, which, I mean, that's meaning that you would be one of the most powerful of the powerful Pharisees. You would have had position, you would have status, you would have had authority, you would have had wealth, all these things. I mean, it was a very, very prestigious position that he had. And he said, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was extremely devout. In fact, he was so loyal as a Pharisee that he fought against the one that he ultimately would come to serve, Jesus Christ. He hated the name. He reviled the name of Jesus Christ. He hated those people who were called little Christ, or what we know as Christians, those people who place their faith in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone to be delivered from their sins and to be granted eternal life. He hated them and he was a persecutor of them. He was responsible for having many arrested and thrown in prisons. Many Christians died as a result of his fanatical persecution of Christianity. He said that he was, in the phrase, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Now, some people mean to think that he was a perfect person, that he never messed up. No, what he was saying here was that he had done all that he was supposed to be done according to the teachings of the Pharisees. And because he had lined up so strictly and had followed so religiously all these teachings, and he tried to live his life in accordance with what the Pharisees would have deemed right, that he, of all people, was on the right path to heaven. This is what he thought. This was where his confidence was. He had lived a morally and strict upright life. His fellow Pharisees viewed him as being unaccusable. That's what the word there, blameless, means. That they would have looked at him and said, you are unaccusable in regards to how you have pursued your role as a Pharisee, your studies, your daily habits, your strict adherence, your separation from the commoners who are way beneath us. You, of all people, Saul, should go to heaven. In other words, Paul believed that he had done everything necessary to go to heaven. His confidence was based on what he was and who he was. Maybe some of you are here and you are very religious. Just like Paul was. There's a lot of religious groups. There's a lot of religious people all over the United States and all over the world. Okay? But you know what, guys? It's the wrong direction. Because heaven is not gained by a religion. Heaven is only gained through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And there's only one way to have that relationship. And the Bible is quite clear in regards to that. Listen to just a few verses, and then I'm going to close tonight. Romans 3:10 tells us that there is none righteous, no, not one. Paul thought that because he was a Pharisee and because he came from this great lineage and all, that he was an upright man. But here is the thing. The Bible declared him to be unrighteous. In fact, Romans 3:23, which many of you know, says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." There's not one person who's not sinned. There's only one man that ever lived on earth and did not sin, and that was the man, Jesus Christ, who was not just a man, but he was 100% holy God as well. He's the only one. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It puts us into a predicament. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:9, not of works, lest any man should boast. That verse is referring to the fact that we cannot have eternal life just because we do good things. Titus 3:5 is a verse that I shared yesterday in the church service here at Cornerstone, which tells us not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Maybe you find yourself tonight lining up more along the lines of where Paul, who was formerly known as Saul, was. Maybe you feel like, hey, I'm all right. I'm set for eternity because of who I am and because of what I am. I'm a pretty good person. I'm even a religious person. I do good things. I think my good might outweigh my bad. I'm certainly not as bad as some people are, but here's the truth. Here's the reality of it all. The Bible tells us in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. There is no qualification of what sin is greater or lesser. All sin is unrighteousness, the Bible declares. And all sin, which is just as a making sure that we very simply understand, sin is us as people living contrary to God, rebelling against God, disobeying God's commands, living our lives in sinful, worldly, wicked ways. Everything from thoughts to actions to reactions, behaviors, all these different things. Say, well, if I'm just a good religious person, well, then that will turn things around, and I can be sincere and I can be genuine. Listen, my dad's side of the family, they were devout Roman Catholics, and they were faithful. But you know, that was not what was going to earn them their way to heaven. It could not. They tried to do good things. But again, as you've already heard, not from Scott Savinsky tonight, you've heard this is from the Bible. The Bible says that there's no other way but one way. John 14:6, Christ makes a very clear, declarative statement that so many people do not want to hear. But this is what Jesus Christ said of Himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Me. Jesus Christ, when He says, I am the way, you know what He's saying? I am the one and only direction to heaven. You can try being a good person. You can rest on your laurels of lineage and family and who you are. You can try to make yourself up into this great person with status and position and money and material things and all this stuff. You know what? That's not the way. Okay, well, the way is religion, and I'll be a devout, you know, whatever. Okay, and I'll follow this religion, and I'll follow that religion. Many years ago, I came across a man. He had studied multiples and multiples of religions over 20 years. And he was as confused as when he began that 20-year journey. And he was still searching. And he didn't know the truth of Jesus Christ. And I had the privilege of sharing the gospel with him. And that man professed to accept Jesus Christ as his Savior. And we started doing some discipleship with him in later years. He didn't continue to attend our church, but I pray and trust that he was genuine in that decision, because he was a man that his whole life he'd sought this religion and this religion, this religion, this religion, and yet Jesus Christ very clearly says, I am the way. I am the one and only true direction. Paul was going, his life was headed the wrong direction for eternity. And it was because he had the wrong confidence in who he was and what he was. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. We're not going to have a formal invitation tonight, because I want this just to begin to sink into your minds and into your hearts. Maybe you're kind of trying to absorb what I've just shared. Maybe what I have said has even made you upset and maybe offended you. And let me just tell you something. I'm not here to try to be mean to you. I'm not here to be hateful. I'm not here to look down my nose at you. I am here to share with you the truth of the good news of Jesus Christ. Because I don't want you to continue to go the wrong direction concerning your eternity. I want you to know that there is a right direction and there is only one true direction. And you can be on that path. But maybe you're here tonight and maybe you've got to consider, you know what? Maybe I have been depending on who I am and what I am. Depending on my past, depending on my family, depending on my religiosity and so forth. And I need to come to terms with what the Bible has said, not what Scott Savinsky has said, but what the Bible has said. The Bible tells me that those are the wrong ways. And I want you, if that's you, that might be really difficult to initially hear. I know it's not fun for me when I know that I'm going the wrong direction to be told that I'm going the wrong direction and that I have to change and I have to get off an exit and I have to, you know, go all this way and get turned around and start heading the right way. I don't like that, because that means that I've made a mistake. I've messed up. And man, that is never, never fun to come to grips with. And so I was in your place as a 16-year-old teenage boy myself when I had to come to grips with the fact that being the son of a preacher was not getting me to heaven. The fact that I knew Bible verses and that I was in church all of the time, literally an average of 8 services a week, 10 months out of the year, that was not the direction that was going to get me to heaven. The fact that I could say the right things and I could act the right way. The fact that my dad was well known in many Christian circles as a preacher was not going to get me to heaven. The fact that I could be, when I wanted to be, a guy that could do, you know, really good things and nice things and thoughtful things for people, those things were not going to get me to heaven. I had to come to the same stark realization that some of you might be coming to tonight. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do tonight. I'm just going to ask you to, in just the quietness of this next moment, sit there and think, is my life headed the wrong direction? And am I willing to listen to the Bible that can tell me how to change the direction of my life, and not just my life, but my entire eternity? Because young people, there is nothing more important than you being prepared to die. Because when you die, you will spend eternity somewhere. And there's only two places it's either in heaven with God, or else it will be in the lake of fire, separated from God forever. The most important decision. Will you have a spirit, a mind of teachability to listen further to what God will share? We're going to look tomorrow night at this passage in Philippians 3 and see how Paul's life changed directions and how yours can too. Maybe you say, you know what? I do not want to wait till tomorrow night. I know I'm going the wrong direction. I know that I'm not prepared. I'm not prepared to die and head into eternity. And I want to talk with someone tonight. I don't want to wait till tomorrow night. Okay? That's wonderful. After we're done here, if you want to see myself or if you want to see Pastor Jake or one of the workers here, Pastor Jones, one of us, please come and talk with us. But maybe you're still just trying to process. You say, man, this is something that this is kind of new to me, and this is a lot to swallow, and I'm not sure that I really like this, and I'm not sure that I really want to be told this. But I need to evaluate. Would you? Would you evaluate? Would you even maybe pray and ask God to give you a spirit of teachability to come back and listen to more of the testimony of Paul and the scripture that can tell you and will show you how your life can head the right direction for all eternity? Heavenly Father, I pray as we close that you would just be working in our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for the testimony and for the life of the Apostle Paul. Thank you, Lord, that here in this passage, he was honest. He was honest to tell us that his life was going the wrong direction. He wasn't prepared for eternity like he thought he was. His confidence was placed in the wrong things. And God, maybe there's one, maybe there's 10, I don't know, Lord, here tonight, that their lives are headed the wrong direction. They're not ready for eternity. God, I pray that you would give them a mind and a heart of teachability, that they would be willing to listen to the Word of God further, that God, they would take the instruction, the warning, the encouragement, and Lord, head their lives in the right direction by your grace. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.